ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sports coverage of the NRL Premiership.
NRL Saturday.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
You're with Luke Lewis, John Gibbs. I'm Andrew Moore here on ABC Sport, and we are now joined down on the touchline by the head of the ARL, Commission Chair Peter Volandis. G'day, Peter. How are you going?
G'day. I'm just here to wish a 70th happy birthday to John Gibbs. I'm like, is it true? Is he 70 today?
Yeah, thank you, PVL. Yes, it is. And I can remember when I was about 12 when we first used to get together.
Oh, mate, I'm not that old.
I was going to say, you've really
just because you're 70, don't make me that, mate.
And the good thing is, though, Pete, he doesn't act a day over 69 at the moment.
No, that's right. No, but he is a true legend. The man is a legend, and the reason I'm doing this interview is to recognise what a legend he is.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, there you go. That's a nice sentiment. But regardless of your motivation, Pete, this really remains a unique weekend, doesn't it, in the rugby league calendar, and obviously Brisbane getting it until 2032. I know we've been saying for a few years now, where else could do it better than Brisbane? It's hard to find out where. Was it ever in doubt?
Look, there was a lot of places that could do it better than Brisbane yesterday or the day before until we signed the deal. So to get the money, we needed to say there was others. So, no, look, there is no other place. Brisbane is the place for Magic Round. It's been part of the journey from the day one. It was and the success has been the partnership with the Queensland government. And I've got to say the Premier, David Crisafali, has been brilliant to deal with. He's got a great vision for the game. He wants to put the game into the schools. He wants to take it to another level, and we want to be part of that vision. And you only have to look around to see how successful it's already been.
Well, it's been starting the last few years brilliantly with the Women's Origin, and the figures of the TV audience and everything on Thursday night, and we were here calling it unbelievably good, as it should be. But it's going to change, obviously, with Perth Bears coming in next year, PNG in 2028. How dramatic do you think changes to Magic Round could become over the next couple of years?
Look, it could change significantly. And as I said, we want to see use all the state of Queensland. Naturally, we don't want to take away the concept here at Suncorp Stadium, one of the greatest fields in the world. We want to make sure this is the centre of the whole Magic Round. But look, we're going to be looking at different options, maybe. Certainly looking at Townsville as for the women's state of origin on a Wednesday night. I mean, I can't believe how good the women were on Thursday night. They beat, it was record ratings again. They beat that other sport called FLA. on a Thursday night, we had over 1 million viewers. But how good were they? Their ability levels, their skill levels, their excitement. I was fascinated right till the last minute of the game. When they, you know, when Queensland failed to score in the corner, it was just one of those magic games, and I think the women need to have their own identity, to have their own space, and with the two teams coming in, they're going to be given that opportunity, and they've already shown how great they are and how in their evolution, how far advanced they are to any other women's sport.
That is worth highlighting again, seriously, that the Women's Origin had a TV audience of over 1 million. And what did he call it? The ALF?
No, FLA. What are they?
FLA?
Some sport out of Victoria. I don't know what it is.
But it was a marquee matchup, and they had about 600 odd thousand. That's a huge win.
Well, I think they had the grand final replay here in Brisbane, and we beat them on free-to-air. I don't know, because the State of Origin is exclusive to Channel 9, but on free-to-air, I think they got 600,000. We got over 1 million. So that just shows you how good these women players are, and all credit to them. I mean, watching Jessie Southall, the halfback for New South Wales, she's just absolutely brilliant.
Just on that, Peter, they're probably more deserving of a lead into State of Origin. They've had no game time and now playing State of Origin. Where you put it in such a congested schedule, I'm not sure. But, gee, it's a big ask, isn't it, for the girls to play so early before their competition gets underway in July.
No, you're spot on, John. Look, I was having discussions last night with the CEO of the RLPA, Clint Newton. He agrees with you. We've got to give them a few games before the State of Origin. We're asking too much of them. But even though we asked too much of them, they still came to the, they still were brilliant, absolutely top level. But look, we're going to try to make it easier. But as you say, it's a very busy schedule to fit them in. And, we've got to work around their home lives as well. So there's a bit of juggling to do, but we would certainly want a better format than what we currently have.
And using the perspective of the 9 games for the men next year with extra team Perth coming in, it seems that the PNG Chiefs have probably had a higher profile. I know that you've come around, or you've been convinced, or someone's sort of tapped you on the shoulder and said, I think they need a bit of a hand to Perth Bears. How do you actually see it happening from you at the top?
Look, we've had representation from the Perth Bears to give them some assistance. Naturally, we're going to look at it. We want the Perth Bears to be successful from day one. We want them competitive. So anything we can do to help to make it more competitive, we will look at. And they've given us a proposal. We will consider it and hopefully make an announcement in the next couple of weeks.
Now, when we talk about that congested schedule, we're talking about representative football and the Kangaroos, and you've given a couple of years extra to Kevin Waters. We spoke to him earlier today, Peter, and I thought it was a great vote of confidence by the players that you canvassed to see what their thoughts were about Kevin. And just in addition to that, it must have piqued your interest when you heard that Ivan Cleary is going to give away the coaching caper, but was keen on coaching representative football.
Yes, look, that was certainly very interesting. And, I mean, there's no superlative high enough to share the record of Ivan Cleary. But, look, we do a survey of all the Kangaroo players after the last tour. And, look, they gave an exceptional, and I mean exceptional, confidence to Kevin Walters. I mean, I've never seen ratings like it in a coach. And they were pretty independent, because there was all the elements. There was a survey of all parties, you know, the assistant coaches, team managers, every part of the tour. And the highest score by a long way was Kevin Walters. So the players really, really looked up to him and appreciated what he was doing and how he did it. So he's rewarded by getting an extra 2 years.
Hey, Peter, it is great to see Kevy getting the Australian gig again for a couple of years. But just want to go down to the broadcast deal. How's that all come along? I know it's in 2 years. There's been a lot of talks about the deal being split between, you know, 7, 9 and so on. How's that all going?
Look, it's a pretty complex matrix. As I said from day one, when a broadcaster pays for a product, they then recoup that money from the consumer, the fan. And the last thing I want to do is to get a record deal and we're all sort of patting ourselves on the back and then my fans can't afford to pay for the subscription. So an important element for me is the price point. What will our broadcaster sell it for at the end of the day? Naturally, we want to get a record deal and we want to get the best deal possible. But I also will not forget the fan. Everything we do in the NRL now is through the lens of the fan. We want to make sure that our fans get the best of everything. Now we've changed the rules, we've done everything, and we've done it because of the lens of a fan, and it's paid off because we've gone from 1 million fans up to 3 million fans, and we don't want to lose not one of those 3 million fans that we've worked so hard to get. So we've got to make sure that whatever we do, the price point at the end is affordable to the fan.
I love that, Pete. And the other thing is, what about just going off the back of that, what about the Super League? There was a lot of talk about, you know, acquiring the Super League. How's that travelling? Is there any more talks about that?
Look, we're analysing it. Naturally, we want to help the sport in England. And they've asked us to look at it, and we are looking at it. And there's a couple of deal breakers that, you know, we can't go any further unless we get those two across the line. And we're currently analysing those. But, you know, if we can help, we will. But at the same time, we'll need the support of our clubs here to make sure that we're doing the right thing by the game here in Australia. But, you know, we're taking a much bigger vision and looking at it worldwide. It's important that the game succeeds all parts of the world. And that's one thing about rugby league. We do have international rugby league, as will be highlighted by the World Cup at the end of the year. And we want England strong. You know, when I grew up as a kid, the Ashes tests were, you know, the highlight. When you put that green and gold jumper on, you were playing for Australia, and the fiercest rival was always England. And we want to make sure England stays one of our fiercest rivals.
Pete, you talk about keeping the fans happy, and you're very much responsible for changing the game basically when it returned from that COVID break in 2020 with the set restarts, the one referee instead of two, and the game sped up considerably and was such a great watch after that. A little bit more tinkering this year. We are seeing some blowout scores. Are the fans happy with what they're seeing this year? Is that your feedback, or unhappy?
Look, from the people I speak to, they love the speed of the game. They love the entertainment value. They love the brilliant players now coming out. They love the fact there's fatigue. You know, there's criticism this year about that rule change, but what was happening last year was the players were taking advantage of it being a penalty, and the referees weren't blowing a penalty, so the ruck was slowed down significantly in that part of the field. So we had to do something about it. We had to take some action to stop the wrestle, because no fan likes the wrestle. Anyone you talk to do not appreciate the wrestle. They appreciate fast football with brilliant players coming to the fore, the Reece Walshes, the Pongers, all that. That's what they want to see. They want to see the good players be allowed to be good players. And you're not allowed, if you slow down the ruck to the level that it was slowed down, it affects the fatigue level, which affects the entertainment value of the game. In my view, they'll get used to the fact that they now can't wrestle between the 20 and the halfway line. They could get away with it last year because the referees were reluctant to blow too many penalties, but they'll get used to it. Once they get used to it, I think you'll see that the blowouts will go with it.
Just finally, Pete, we'll let you go. You've said in years gone by that you want to protect referees, and coaches have a responsibility to do that as well. Are you satisfied that they are handling post-game comments about referees or bunkers or officials in general? Do they meet your expectations?
Look, I have sympathy for the coaches. I mean, they're on an adrenaline high after a game, and sometimes they say things they shouldn't say, but I think it's a cop-out when they blame the referees. I mean, it's like blaming your mother-in-law if you had a fight with your wife. It's not the referee's fault. The referee doesn't make mistakes for 80 minutes of the game. If they make one or two mistakes, it doesn't change the face of the game. And you get the rub of the green. One week you may not get the rub of the green, the next week you do. You've got to look at your own team's performance before you start trying to find excuses with the referees.
You know, out of all the comments you've made in this interview and any others, the mother-in-law one will be the one that gets the headlines, right?
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that one. I'm in big trouble there.
Thanks, Peter, for your time. Appreciate it. Enjoy the remains of the weekend.
No, thanks, fellas. And happy birthday, John.
Mate, he's on his way down. He'll be looking for you any second, don't worry.
I've got a big birthday cake for him. It's cement, though. That's the only thing.
Oh, that's all right, mate. If anyone could chew into it, it'd be him. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, fellas.
Peter Vilandis, Commission Chair of the ARL, joining us down on the touchline.
Rugby League is on your radio.
NRL Saturday on ABC Sport.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
It's been a big week for coaching and coaching announcements, with Ivan Cleary announcing through the week he'll be standing down as Penrith coach at the end of the year. And the Kangaroos decided to extend Kevvy Walters as coach for the next 2 years. He's only had one crack at it and won all three tests against England in the UK. There's a World Cup looming large starting in mid-October, and Kevvy Walters joined us online. How are you, Kev?
Really good, thanks, gentlemen. Yeah, magic weekend's always pretty magic, but some great news yesterday for myself personally to get a further two more years with the Australian side. So the Kangaroos, I'm really chuffed about that and really grateful for the opportunity as well.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it? You got the crack, but it was only really for that series on shortish notice after Mal signed with the Perth Bears. You obviously enjoyed that experience going back to the UK with the Kangaroos team this time in charge?
Yeah, certainly working with our elite players, it's always a joy and a treat, particularly when they play the way they did. So, but World Cup certainly can be different to an Ashes tour. You know, here in Australia, we've got a few cities that we're playing in, and also, just the other nations. England will be here, of course, and they'll be much stronger for the run last year, but also the Pacifica nations are, claiming their rights as international test football, and also the New Zealanders, the Kiwis, are always very strong and formidable. So it should be a really tough series, but one I'm very much looking forward to.
Yeah, well, you start with the Kiwis, don't you, on Thursday, the 15th of October at the Sydney Football Stadium. And how much, the temptation would be just to get everything ready for that one game. Obviously, it's a longer process than that, but that's huge to start with, isn't it?
Well, it's a big one to start with, yeah. We get all logistics right for the first three rounds of the competition. There's a game in Brisbane on week two for the Kangaroos, and then a game up in Townsville for week three. So, lots of work to be done around there, but just, identifying players. Most of the players that went on last year's Kangaroo tour are in pretty good touch, and we get through an Origin series, so there's lots of things around the selection table, but it's nice now. We have done some planning, but nice to lock, some more of our staff in and those sort of things, which is really important to be successful.
Yeah, Kevvy, congratulations on another 2 years, mate. It's great to see. Yeah. But how much planning does go into, organising this World Cup?
Well, there's a lot of cricket, you know, the logistics of a team and training venues and recovery centres and all this. It just doesn't happen overnight. But we have got, we're pretty fortunate, we've got a pretty good runway, you know, into the series. And so there's lots to be done, but there's also some work already there that we have completed. But, you know, it's really important that you get your preparation right, because that eventually will determine the outcome of games. You get your preparation right, as you know, as a former elite player, that you get that right and you provide the right environment for players to play well, you normally get the results that you're looking for.
Yeah, Kevin, and, you know, talking about preparation, I was always a big thing on, you know, State of Origin. You'd come out, you'd go into State of Origin. I used to treat it as like, if you play well here, you've got an opportunity to play for Australia. How much has that changed now with all the way that the rules have changed and eligibility has changed for New South Wales and Queensland?
Well, it still hasn't changed, Louis. I mean, if you play well at Origin level, you put yourself in the frame for an Australian jersey, regardless of when that test is. Now, the test, most of the tests now and the international football is played post-grand final. So if you can have a really good Origin series, and we saw that last year with Kermit Shibasaki, he came into Origin unknown, had a great Origin series, and then, you know, had a great final series as well for the Broncos and found his way into, on the Kangaroo Tour. So, you know, Origin is obviously the key one for us. If you have a really strong series, you're obviously going to put yourself in a good position to be part of the Kangaroos at the end of the year in November.
Evan, congratulations, mate. Great news. And as you said, you were chuffed, and rightfully so. But you also must be further heartened by the fact that the players that were on your tour were consulted, and you got a huge vote of confidence. So that's nice knowing that as well.
Yeah, they're very good. The old surveys, they can trick you up on those surveys sometimes. But
absolutely.
This one was a good one. I was very confident. You know, I could sense the players over there enjoying being coached by myself and the other staff as well, which we had over there. So, you know, part of forming a really strong team is the connection of the side. And I feel like one of my strong attributes as a coach is to bring people together for a common cause. And that was certainly the case over there. The guys really came together very quickly. We had some players over there that sort of hadn't played football together. It was a pretty young Australian team when you think of the guys that have retired over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. So I think Isaiah Yeo was our most experienced player with 13 tests. So, you know, it was a big job to bring them together, but we did it well, and the players responded accordingly and put on what I thought was a really good series over there, you know, particularly with our defence, which is the important thing in those big games. As you all know, that, you know, defence wins those big ones. We got that right, which was great to see.
Yeah, Kevy, like, you went on the 90 tour and the 94 tour, which was the old style tours. That was the closest thing that we've had to that last year. So that was a good taster for those players. Obviously, in such a congested schedule, it's almost impossible. Now, it's hard to fit everything in.
It is. Gives in. I was very grateful for that as a player, and very fortunate to be coached by, you know, Bobby Fulton, who I thought was a master at taking those tours away. He's very experienced at, not only as a player, but also as a coach. So I took a lot from his learnings, you know, 30-odd years ago, my first Kangaroo Tour in 1990, of, you know, how to treat players and how to, you know, get the best out of players. And certainly a lot of those learnings were put forward this year when I was the coach of the Kangaroos. So, yeah, he did a great job over there, and very fortunate to be coached by someone like Bob, who has so much experience, you know, around the game as a player and a coach.
Kevin, just on the game, even since you've been out of NRL coaching just a couple of seasons, the game has changed. There's been an evolution, and it was more old style, the test matches that you were coaching.
Yeah.
If you were to, I mean, it's a different game almost.
Well, it is, but it is a different game because of the possession and the run of possession the teams can have. But I still believe, you know, if you make good contact in your tackles and you're winning your tackles, that gives you the right to, you know, win the play the ball, win the ruck as such, and that gives your defensive line time to adjust and get set and go again. But when you're missing tackles and this sort of stuff, it does put pressure on your defensive line, and the six agains are a big one. So keep your discipline with your defence. And, you know, the good teams are working it out. The Penriths and the Roosters and these sort of teams are working it out. So that's certainly be a case for us at the back end of the year. We'll see how the season develops, but it's certainly a much quicker game now, and possession can go with big chunks, which sometimes it is hard to defend against.
So do you think the Origin series will be vastly different because of that or not?
No, I don't think Origin get much quicker, but they find the players just keep going to another level each year, and we saw a great series last year. No doubt this year it's going to be even more spectacular. I think the rules change a bit when it comes to Origin. They sort of tame it down a bit, and you know, we're still going to see a great series, but you know, hopefully the referees will just let the game flow and not be too critical around players and some of their movements.
All right, just finally, Kevy, you're inside the ground. We're currently outside the ground. I thought you might come outside to get your photo taken with B1 and B2. I know how much you love bananas in pyjamas.
Is Alfie out front?
He looks very yellow, but yeah, that might be him. what's your pick of the games today?
I think the first, well, look, they're all very important to the teams, but the first one here, Manly up against the Tigers. Well, the Tigers, you know, they're desperate for a win, aren't they? They're winless the last couple of weeks. They've still got a couple out today, a couple of big names missing. So, and Manly, such good form under the new coach Kieran Foran. I'm looking forward to that one more than anyone. See where this Tigers, they need to find a way to win today to keep, you know, to stay in the running in that top eight. Otherwise, they'll slip out the back, which is never great.
All right, Kevy, always good to chat, mate. Congratulations on another couple of years as Kangaroos coach. We'll catch you soon.
You will. Thank you very much. Have a good Harvey, boys. Enjoy Queensland, eh? Here we go.
ABC Sports coverage of NRL Saturday.
Rugby League is on your radio. ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Can't touch this.
Time to find out all the latest rugby league news
and speculation.
Here's Michael Carayannis with MC's
Hammer Time.
We miss you, Michael. How's Sydney?
Happy birthday, Jonty. I'm good. Sydney's good.
Thank you, Michael.
Good. How are you guys?
We're very, very well. But, you know, we've been talking about you a lot off air. And now we get a chance to remember that you're with us on air. So we do miss you, though, Michael. What have you made of it all so far from Thursday night till now?
Yeah, obviously a couple of interesting performances last night. The Dogs have just been a hole, and it looks like there's no way out for them at the moment. The Sharks have shown glimpses of life over the past couple of past month or so. They have a really good game and a poor game, good game, poor game. It's hard to get a read on them. And similar with South Sydney. About that game last week where South Sydney blew Cronulla off the park, but couldn't get near that. But the Dolphins have started to show why we all had high hopes for them heading into this year.
Yeah, no, that's right. They are starting to come good. All right, mate, what have you got to lead us off with today?
Yeah, some significant injury news. Bradman Best has been ruled out of the game tomorrow for the Newcastle Knights and also out of Origin contention. Look, it would have been a long shot to make that New South Wales Origin side, but he's got a calf injury, which is going to sideline him for about 3 weeks. So Bradman Best out of Origin contention.
Gee, that's a big blow too, depending on the nature of the back injury to Latrell Mitchell, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And just on Latrell, a bit of news around him. He's going to be on a modified training program. South Sydney are confident that he won't be ruled out of Origin, but there's no way he's going to be able to train fully, particularly at the start of the week. So it's going to be up to Laurie Daly. Usually the coaches will put a deadline on players and say, this is how much, you know, this is the day I will need you at full training. And it'll be interesting to see if Latrell can get his body up to it, but he will be heavily restricted in the opening stages of the Origin campaign.
And Louis, last night alone showed the folly of picking players who aren't fully fit, let alone at Origin level.
Yeah, absolutely. I really want Latrell there. He's intimidating. He's playing outstanding football, but I feel like if you can't train, the good thing is they have got Katoni Staggs there. I had Stephen Crichton there and Latrell Mitchell in my side. So that's a bit of a bonus. And Bradman Best, that's another massive loss because I also had him penciled in into my side there for tomorrow's little compete against Billy Moore. Yes. But that's disappointing for New South Wales.
Just by the way, he hardly trained at all during the week. So, I mean, it was an odd decision. I suppose it's easy, yeah, in hindsight, but it's an odd decision that he played last night, Michael.
And that's going to be the point, Gibbsy. We're speaking to South Sydney officials this morning. They're saying, well, his preparation for what it was for South Sydney will essentially be cut and paste for the Blues, and it's up to the Blues to work out if they're okay with that, as limited as it's going to be headed into the first Origin game.
It's a big risk, and I want Latrell to be there, but only if he's fit. To have a player going in the State of Origin 1 who's just can't even finish Magic Round to be on limited training duties, whether he's going to make it at that level, at that intensity, that is a big risk for Laurie Daly to be taking.
Yeah. Certainly, certainly. And that's where I guess the advantage of the six-man bench and well boys comes into play.
Correct.
Yeah, but if he's not right, they can't pick him. All right, Michael, what else you got?
Yeah, just finally around Origin, three Roosters players are facing an uphill battle to retain their spots. Connor Watson, Spencer Leonard, I don't think either of those will be there. And the other one's Angus Crichton. He's really fighting to keep that spot, his spot in that New South Wales squad.
Yeah, I don't have my side either.
Well, don't reveal all your secrets. No,
but Louis and Michael, what if he plays a blinder today? I mean, he can't be.
You can't just have one blinder.
He can't, well, yeah, some of them do.
Yeah, but you'd think that they've got a fair idea now, especially if someone. Yeah. Well, I don't think we're going to go that way. They're going to have an idea before just one game.
Hudson Young, Amola Olakuatu.
As the second rowers? Okay. Yeah, that would seem likely, would it not, Michael?
Yeah, that's the way I think they'll lean, boys.
All right, well, we miss you. You're going to be listening to us non-stop?
Yes. I actually listened briefly as I was going out for dinner last night and heard you attribute the around-the-round scores to me. So, yeah, thankful as always.
Well, I appreciate you letting me know. And even as we speak, I don't know how you do that, you're reminding me that the Adelaide Crows lead over North Melbourne is, to quote you, outrageous, 90-24 at half-time. Thank you, MC. We'll chat again very soon, mate. I miss you.
I'll miss you guys tonight. Have a great night with Sir Johnsy's birthday. Enjoy, Johnny.
Thank you, MC. I appreciate it.
There's Michael Carayannis from the Daily and Sunday Telegraph. Not with us, unfortunately, up here this weekend, but we'll catch MC again next weekend.
Do you love rugby league? NRL Saturday on ABC Sport.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
A very special presentation here in our broadcast position ahead of the West Tigers Manly game at 3 o'clock, and coming through now is a birthday cake for John Gibbs, purchased by our producer Ralph Tucker.
Thank you, Ralph.
Does that say 70 or 10?
I said 10. Should I get him to sing?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jonty.
Don't watch the candles.
Happy birthday to you.
This is very nice. I'm very humble. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
You don't hip yourself, by the way.
Well, I do.
I know. Now blow them out and make a wish. You got 66% of them.
Hang on. I don't want to spit on the cake.
Eventually.
Finally. Well done, Jonty.
Don't worry, I've got plenty of breath.
It's a multi-layered chocolate
Hang
cake.
Hang on, don't put that knife near me and Louis.
Yeah, I'll hold it.
It's been, what a nerve-wracking time. You around candles and Louis around a knife.
Yeah. I thought you were going to be really, really kind and present my pass to me.
You'll get your pass, don't worry.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.